Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ProFlowers.com. Go to ProFlowers.com, get 24 assorted roses with a free glass vase starting at just $29.99. Go to ProFlowers.com, use promo code Ghost Stories, and get that amazing offer today.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener shares her brief view into the past while in her home. The first day of high school is terrifying for a listener for very unusual reasons. And playing in the woods leaves a young girl believing she's encountered a skinwalker. And we hear a few tales of a paranormal investigator in Australia whose family has been investigating the paranormal for well over 150 years. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Over 150 years.
Yeah, since the 1860s.
I didn't know that they did paranormal investigations back then.
Well, I'm not sure what they considered investigating.
Mm-hmm. Just being interested in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know there was, you know, obviously the further back you go, the more that they're in some ways almost an acceptance of the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of like, it's all, you know, it's not real. And then it kind of swings back around the other way as we get into today. That's really interesting. All the way back to 150 years. It'll be interesting to hear that story. Skinwalker, we had an episode about a skinwalker a long time ago.
Yeah.
What is a skinwalker?
It's kind of a shapeshifter, if you will.
Okay.
Kind of, because they don't really shapeshift into an animal. It's more of like a cultural type.
Okay.
Ghoul, if you will.
Okay. I remember it being kind of dark. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From
yeah.
That episode. I think the episode is actually called Skinwalker. Mm-hmm. way back. So if you're into the Skinwalkers, you get one today. And then if you can go back and you can find it in our archives as well. Well, cool. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or you can also email your audio file. If you got a story you want to just share that way and record it on your mobile device, email to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Go to our first story. It comes into us from Kim. And Kim writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Kim from St. Louis. I'm a proud EPP, and I highly recommend it to others. I have a Ouija board story that happened to me and my friend in high school in the early 90s. I'll call her Chelsea for privacy. I and Chelsea went to a Walmart and bought a Ouija board. Right away, it worked for us. No waiting, no accusing each other of moving it. It was so strong it would make our fingertips slide off. It was going so fast. So, as happens to everyone at first, it was all good, friendly spirits, but then it turned dark. Chelsea got pregnant a couple of months after we started playing with it. It started saying things like it was the devil and it wanted her baby. We thought if we took it to school and only played with it there, it would be okay. Our study hall was just game time, basically. So when we played with it, so after it continued to say things like wanting her baby, we decided to stop playing with it and put it away in a locker. The next day I was going to throw it away after school was over and collected it from my locker. I noticed it was rattling when I picked up the box. Chelsea comes over and we opened it up. It was in about 100 pieces. It looked like it had blown up in the box. I cannot figure out how it could have blown up in a box, but the box wasn't damaged. We just felt that it was angry that we stopped playing and we're going to throw it away. Can't explain it, but I know that around this time is when other paranormal events increased in my life, but I'll share those for another time.
My first question is, what made them want to go get this Ouija board at Walmart in the first place? You know, that's not something you just randomly, oh, hey, let's just stop by Walmart and get a Ouija board. Is it something that, you know, was there something already trying to communicate with them?
That drove them to do it, if you will?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's that curiosity around that age. I wonder if they had seen something about it or heard something about it on a movie or a show or whatnot. Oh, let's try it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing what that inspiration was would be interesting. I think this is the first time we've had a Ouija board story where the Ouija board itself self-destructs.
Yeah, and I don't know what to think about that, because is that the spirit saying, hey, I'm going to destroy this so you can't get rid of me?
If they didn't close the board?
Right. Or, you know, I've never heard of a spirit being able to destroy a Ouija board.
Usually it's the board gets destroyed by the people and it comes back in like full form glory.
Right.
It's like, we burned it. We ripped it up. We did all these things and it came back. It's interesting that it would be trying to go away.
Mm-hmm. What makes you wonder? I almost wonder, you know, since it was in a school locker. I would venture to guess there's locks on the lockers, mm-hmm. but, you know, somehow a kid could probably get into a locker and tear it up if they wanted to, just to freak them out.
Was it a human intervening in a I'm going to freak these girls out sort of way, or was it a human intervening in a way of, you shouldn't be messing with that. I'm going to destroy it for you.
Could be.
So you can't do it. And they're not going to come out and tell you.
No.
And then you're left to wonder, was it the box? The fact that she said it was like kind of almost shaking,
mm-hmm.
makes you wonder, though, just if there was something else going on with it. That, again, that's the first time we've had a story where the board itself is destroyed. I wonder if there's any other stories out there of that nature. Because, honestly, I've never even thought of that being a plot.
Whole new one for us.
It was an original Ouija moment.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Valentine's Day, it is coming up. And if you're tired of guessing what to get your significant other, here is the fail-proof way to handle the holiday like a pro. Pro Flowers. That is, they're making it easier than ever by taking all the guesswork out of it. On top of their already low prices, right now you can get 2 dozen, not just 1 dozen, 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase for $29.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can even upgrade for $9.99 more and get yourself 2 dozen long-stemmed assorted roses with premium vase, and you get chocolates as well.
There you go.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, mm-hmm. if you will. Go to proflowers.com. Use our promo code GHOSTSTORIES. Help support our show by supporting our sponsors. Use our promo code GHOSTSTORIES and get that great offer. Pick your flowers and then check out in less than 2 minutes. Very quick. It's simple to do. You can't go wrong. And what's nice about, if you've ever gotten flowers through the mail, Pro Flowers, one of the best ones out there, because the stuff, it's direct from the grower to you. It's not going to like a warehouse or something and sitting there and for a couple of days and then it's going to hit you. It's cut, it's picked, it's cut, it's arranged, it's boxed and sent to you just like that. So it's fresh and guaranteed to last 7 days or your money back. So get in on that. Get your 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase starting at $29.99. Proflowers.com. Use our promo code GHOSTSTORIES. Promo code GHOSTSTORIES. Type that in and get that. Hurry. It does expire very soon at Proflowers.com. com. There you go. Mary writes into us, first of all, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm Mary, and I live in Los Angeles, California. As a child, I can freely say I don't remember at all having any paranormal activity, nor have I seen things. To tell you my story, I need to explain a short story about my sister and cousin's encounter with what they called a very dark person who reached inside the outside window to get a hold of my younger cousin. When my eldest cousin noticed, she alerts everyone in the house as my mother and father went in search of the two exits to face this trespasser to find no one there. 2 days later, my cousin stayed over at their godmother's house, and my sister, being alone in that room, asked my mother to let me sleep with her in the room. As if the everyday activity had never happened that night, we slept peacefully. To make things clear, whenever I wanted something to happen, nothing ever did. At the age of 20, around August of 2012, I lived with my brother in the state of Indiana. I had a minor accident at my workplace, so I stayed home. My brother thought I had the night shift, so that day he went out with a friend, and I was fast asleep. I had taken ibuprofen. It was around 15 minutes until 12 p.m., and I had my first encounter with an actual invisible person or thing. Although people refer to it as sleep paralysis, I remember exactly a draining feeling before it happened. Something in my mind shouted a voice I only heard as, "Wake up, get up now." It was too late, and I felt dizzy and seeing my room as if I were put on a heavy dose of meds. My mind made me aware of something being in there with me. Something sat in my feet, and I kicked shortly after it. Sat closer and closer until it sat on my stomach. I remember feeling no warmth nor cold on my wrists. Two huge hands held my arms and forced them to cross over my chest as if I were lying in a casket. I tried screaming my brother's name only to manage whispering it. The thing then mimicked his name in my ear with his dark, deep voice. My brother shortly then kicked my door open, saying, "Wake the F up!" I stood up, scared for my life, only to see for a short minute a dark expression on his face and slowly faded to his worried, familiar face. I didn't stay the night in our apartment. My brother decided he would take me to a cousin's home, but I then knew I was never again alone, for it followed me everywhere I go. Even now, and it's affecting my life, some friends tell me it's difficult to be with family members. So they have headaches or feel drained when I'm there, and everyone tells me I feel watched when I'm with you. If only they knew, I feel the same way, only 10 times worse. Thank you for reading, and I want to say I love your show. Both of you are great, and your show makes me relieved to know I'm not alone with these things. Either way, I'll share another story in the next few days.
Unfortunately, this is one of those where it sounds like it's something attached to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of goes along for family visits and grocery shopping, whatever. It's just there.
How do you get rid of something like that?
I think you have to kind of get somebody involved that can tell what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go from there.
It's beyond just, "Hey, please leave me alone."
Yeah.
Because I wonder, I mean, even if it were to leave that individual alone who it's attached to, if others then would still be feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're able to get it to go down from the 10 notch to a 1 or a 0, if others would still be there, because it's still with you, it's just you're the one that it's not bothering.
Yeah. You know, or it could leave altogether.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a tough one when you have the haunted person thing, because it drains in so many ways. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here. Carolina writes, and hi, I'm Carolina. I've always listened to the podcast while I'm working, and it's so interesting. Congratulations. My story is so strange. I've never heard or read about this before. First, I'll give you a background of me. I'm not a very religious person. I believe in reincarnation. I'm very open-minded and always am finding a reason of things I don't know or understand. 6 months ago, I was in the laundry room with my cat, alone in my house, when suddenly I began listening to a woman singing and a song in the background, but it was so far away. The music was like from 1920s or the 1930s. She was following the lyrics. Then I began looking for the source of all the sounds, and it was coming from the inside of the electric connector. I was so intrigued, and of course I know this is not possible, that I had a vision. A girl in a red dress getting ready, looking at the mirror, and a man comes around. When he started talking, it sounded like a fight. Could not understand words, but I heard clearly and felt the emotions. My cat was scared. This way I'm sure it was not my imagination. Then it faded away. Started looking for answers, and I still don't know. What do you think of this? I haven't seen or heard anything else, but I had a strong feeling I was looking through a bubble of space and time, looking at the past. But it's so confusing. Every day I go there to try and hear, and there's absolutely no sound. I haven't tried Googling music through electric plug-in, and nothing appeared. It is not possible. I thank you so much for your comments, because I still don't know what to think. To every person I tell the story, they think it was all in my imagination.
Okay, I think it's either one of two things. I think it's either just a, you know, I guess one of those time period glimpses where you see something from another era and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be residual. But it's like if it's residual, it almost has to happen more than once before you know it.
Mm-hmm. You're right on the more than once thing on the residual. I'm trying to look up and figure out the electrical outlet playing music.
And I figured you would be a better source on things that plug in. So
now,
I'm not.
I'm not aware of this being a thing or being a possible...
Not like how it can come through other electronic devices.
I mean, there are weird things that electricity and sound can reverberate through if it's at the right frequency. So I wouldn't completely, you know, cross that off.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really depends how that outlet is set up, what's in that outlet. Certainly it's not a normal, typical thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see some way for that to happen. I mean, if essentially people can pick up sometimes radio frequencies on a filling,
mm-hmm,
in a mouth, a piece of metal. There's metal in an outlet. So I would suppose just the right place, time, frequency, you could get something to work.
Mm-hmm.
But just the oddness of it, 1930s type music, you know, coming through an outlet.
It's almost like, at, you know, if we're really working hard to find the logical answer, mm-hmm, it's like it's almost picking up the sound from a TV show.
Sure.
Because that's not going to be something you just hear randomly on the radio.
Yeah. I mean, the other thought I had on it would be, maybe there is a way for that to happen. It was aware of that, there being a way to conduct sound through this box,
mm-hmm,
and it was utilizing it,
mm-hmm,
the ghost itself, and it wasn't just some sort of freak, weird interference that just happened to be going through at that moment in time. But it's a very difficult one to say.
Yeah.
But yes, sound can come through a lot of things that you wouldn't imagine. I'm not even joking. I remember, like, we would get letters. And the thing is, some of it might have been very real from folks when I worked in radio. Like, I remember the company owned, like, an AM radio tower. And those seem to be the ones that would do more of this. And those are very high-powered things. You touch an AM radio tower, you die.
Mm-hmm.
An FM tower, not so much. But it's just a large electric stick. That's why there's these giant fences around them. So they're putting out a lot of stuff, and a lot of times those are just in someone's field, out in the middle of the country. But sometimes you'd have stories of the lighter end of it would be, oh, it's interfering with my television signal, which in theory it shouldn't be, but because it's so powerful, it is. All the way to the fillings. I'm picking up the station in my fillings. I'm picking it up this way or that way. And there's been documented cases of that happening. So, really, anything is possible with that stuff to a certain extent. It's kind of freaky, too. Jose writes, and I live in a small city in California. It's a few miles away from Bakersfield. My first day of high school was in summer school a few weeks before normal school started. I was taking summer school to get ahead in credits before everyone else. The first day, I decided to go early so I could find my class and not be late. I arrived at school at 6:50 a.m. and school started at 7:30. I have no idea why I would want to get there so early. I noticed nobody was in school yet, but the gates were open because teachers must get their things before they start class. I walked around the school a few minutes because I was a freshman and didn't know much about the school. I walked around until I found my class, which was all the way to the back of the school. After I found my class, I saw there was a restroom close by and I had to go. I walked into the handicap stall, which is the biggest stall. When I entered the restroom, I looked around to see if there was anybody inside, but there was nobody. As soon as I shut the stall door to my business, I hear all the toilets flush, including mine, without any explanation. So I tried to stay calm, then I heard a door slam. I tried to open the door, but it was something or someone that was pushing the door, so it would not open. I got really scared and finally managed to open the door, and I ran out. The same day, I told my friends that they called me stupid and crazy, and they started to make fun of me. I told my parents what happened, and they tried to give me a logical explanation. They told me that maybe a janitor was cleaning the restrooms, even though I told her I knew there was nobody inside at that time. And why would all the restrooms flush at the same time? And how would the stall door get stuck? Now, I'm a junior, and since that day, I've never arrived at school this early. A few weeks after that, a lot of friends I had told me that there had been people who had committed suicide in that school, and this creeped me out. What's your take on the story? Also, thank you for the great show, and keep up all the great work. Thanks for keeping me entertained during class while my boring teachers talk.
I really have the feeling it was something taking the opportunity to use the nervous energy and just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Being first day of high school, being there extra early to get a jump on classes,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, being by yourself in the restroom. I don't think it was a prank. I think something happened, and I think it was just feeding off of that energy. Not to mention, a teenager is full of all kinds of hormonal energy at the time, and things just prey upon teenagers anyway.
I agree. I'm wondering if this was something that was using what was in existence to help freak them out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will say this, there are a lot of toilet systems, especially in schools, where they all flush simultaneously. Do you ever have that? I remember being in the, and it's kind of freaky because it's loud. It's suddenly like every single loud toilet's like, boom, all at the same time. Now, it depends what sort of system it is and how old of a school it is as far as if that was going to be an active thing. But I remember I don't remember which school it was, if it was like my junior high or high school. I doubt it was my high school because I think those are far too old of toilets. But one of them had that sort of thing going on, and it was freaky when it happened, but you knew what it was eventually. But it's like kind of a timed thing. And I would think that, you know, if you know, they've been there for a little while, they'd realize that and probably have some routine of going in there, and they're not flushing at the same time every day. There's probably something else going on. But the fact that that mechanism exists,
yeah,
I think could be used.
Oh, and I don't know a single school that has a timed door slamming feature.
That, yeah, and that's the other part.
Yeah,
that's the other part that does not have the option for timing. And that's why I say I think it might have been using the mechanisms that existed to freak the person out. Thanks for sharing that. Ashley writes in, the women in my family have always been sensitive to paranormal happenings. My mother has more of a precognitive ability, whereas mine is more empathic. My mother can see and talk to spirits while awake. For me, they come in my dreams. I know when I'm interacting with a spirit by the feel the dream holds. Once while living in Virginia, a malevolent spirit or demon came to me in my sleep. In my dream, I awoke to a female standing at the end of my bed. I should note that this apartment has displayed various activities, such as channels changing, radio turning on in the middle of the night, objects moving or disappearing completely, and apparitions of a young blonde female being fed up with the activity. I asked her what she wanted. She didn't answer, so I frustratingly got out of bed and stood in front of her, where I demanded she tell me what she wants. She held both her hands and her palms up in between us. Taking that as a signal, I placed my hands in hers and looked up at her face, and she smiled. She then closed her hands around mine, and her eyes went red, and our hands erupted in flames. She wouldn't let go, no matter how hard I tried to pull away. Within seconds, I was engulfed in the flames and woke up back in my bed covered in sweat. The following days, I had a friend do EVP sessions with me in the apartment. We only got a handful of recordings, but one told us that we needed to search for something. The voice would crackle and go out, so we never knew what she asked us to look for, or where she did say if we push it, then it should open and find it verbatim. The only I only had one other dream of her before I moved. She was not happy about me moving and told me I had to stay or else I would suffer. Sure as shit, the next day I was packed and ready to move back to Michigan, and I ended up getting so sick I had to go to the hospital to treat a high fever in the 104 range of the vomiting. My mother and I have quite a few stories of our experiences. I'll ask her if she wouldn't mind me sharing hers. I do have a question about myself, though. Is there anyone else out there that has demonic or malevolent spirits drawn to them like I do? My mom has been blessed with only positive spirits in her life while I get to deal with the troublemakers. Do they see them while awake or dreaming? Thank you.
I think that's a very good question for our listeners.
I would say we've had stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
I, off the top of my head, I can't really recite them, but I know that we have had stories where people feel that they're being followed or basically the catalyst for something very dark, and they feel kind of like, why me?
But honestly, most of those stories are dealing with one.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, she said drawn. It makes me feel like more than one in her lifetime has affected her.
Sure.
So that I'm not as comfortable saying that we've had stories of more than one type or more than one specific demon coming and, you know, setting up camp in a listener's home. But I think really and truly, you know, that's possible. I mean, why not?
A lot of times we have a person who has something like this happening. It's like a mix,
mm-hmm.
where the good, the bad, they're just there. It is kind of rare to have it where it's 100% dark,
yeah.
or light. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you are right. I mean, I think there has been some stories where it seemed to lean a lot more on the dark end, but then there'd be like a little shining of not so bad. Mm-hmm. Or like maybe this good one is kind of keeping them away. That seems to be a lot of the theory.
Or just one demon.
Yeah, exactly. So let's open that up. And if you guys want to comment on that, of course, the best way to reply is on our Facebook page. Just look up Real Ghost Stories Online. And you can comment underneath this show's caption, or you can post directly to our page. You can begin that conversation there. And others can, of course, interact. And I'll weigh in on that as well as the responses come in on the Facebook page. Our next letter says, hello again, Tony and Jenny. I have yet another ghostly tale to tell everyone. It's one of my favorite stories to tell, so here it goes. This takes place when I was 14 back in 2004, when my family still lived on a farm in Enterprise, Utah, in that creepy haunted house. In my previous stories about this house, I mentioned that I felt the land we lived on was also haunted. The story is the reason I think that. Native Americans once occupied this land. It was obvious to anyone who chose to explore the mouth of the canyon where my house was set that we were not the first people who lived here. Like I said before, the black lava rock mountain in front of our home was covered in Native American drawings, grindings, stones, and had been taken from the hills behind our house and used as garden ornaments. My siblings and I spent many days out hiking around our property looking for arrowheads. Further up the canyon from our house is a reservoir and the old Hebron Pioneer Cemetery. Most of the headstones are very worn, falling over, just big wooden stumps in the ground to mark a grave, and the graves themselves seem to be rising over time as big body-sized mounds. One tombstone in the cemetery is new, probably donated by some modern organization, but all it says on it is Indian Squaw. So you get it. The land was very much Native American land at one time. The story really begins one clear spring morning during spring break. My niece and nephew, who were very close in age to my twin brother and I, always came to our house for every holiday, and usually spent a month every summer with us. We grew up together and were very close. We all decided to go for a hike to the mountains, the hills behind our house and farm. We hopped a few barbed wire fences and would end up at the base of what us kids called the Back Mountain. At the base of the Back Mountain is a wash riverbed made up of limestone gravel. It only has water in it for the reservoir 10 miles up the canyon. It was overflowing from snowmelt, which was hardly ever. So we decided that this day to wander up the dry riverbed towards the reservoir. We were surrounded by sagebrush and some sort of weed that grew along the river and huge elm trees that randomly popped up in various places. We walked about a half mile when we came upon a huge fallen elm tree in the riverbed. It was dead, but very neat looking with its huge branches reaching this way and that. We decided it would make the perfect treehouse. The rest of the day we spent going back and forth from the tree to our farm with boards and tools we needed to build our treehouse. For days we worked on it, and it was becoming one of our favorite places to be. One morning my niece and I wanted to go to the treehouse, but my brother and nephew did not, so we went out without them. Soon enough, my niece and I were walking along the riverbed chit-chatting when we came upon a dead tabby cat in our path. We both stopped and looked at it for a moment, and from what I could see, there was nothing physically wrong with the cat. I'd experienced much animal deaths in my life, being raised in a farm, and this cat's appearance struck me as odd. My niece and I both knelt in the riverbed to further investigate the cat, and again, there was no blood coming out of it anywhere. And it honestly seemed fresh dead. I even tried to lift its head a little to see if it had rigor mortis, which would tell me how long it had been dead. It was still limp, which told me it hadn't been there very long. After doing our cat CSI session without a cause of death conclusion, we decided it was best to just bury the poor creature. So we started piling the limestone gravel from the riverbed on top of the cat, silently contemplating our thoughts for the moment. Suddenly, the feeling of being watched and knowing something was approaching seemed to hit both my niece and me. We both felt something behind us, and we simultaneously turned to see what was there. About 2 feet behind us stood a tall, nearly solid black figure. It seemed mostly featureless, and neither of us could tell exactly what it was, and it towered over us. When it realized we had caught it sneaking up on us, it zoomed past us and into a large patch of sagebrush behind where we had been kneeling, and it shook the sagebrush as it went. Without much thought, I immediately jumped off the ground and ran after it. The branches on the sagebrush were bouncing from the thing running into them. I searched through the brush, determined to try and find it. I wanted so badly to get a better look at it if I could. It was, of course, gone, but I felt it had somehow hidden itself somewhere close by. So I yelled at it, "I saw you," which made me feel less defeated, I guess. My niece and I decided to go back to my house, and we recounted what had happened to our brothers. They believed us and even seemed a bit regretful that they hadn't gone with us that day. The next day, my niece and I decided to go back to the treehouse again, thinking we might see the black figure again, but we didn't see it. However, when we got to the treehouse, we quickly noticed that the tree was absolutely crawling in thousands of tiny green inchworms, which freaked us out enough to make us never want to go back. I've told this story to a few close family friends from that area, and they've all concluded the same thing. What we saw was most likely a skin walker. A few years ago, I took a hike in that area and tried to find our old treehouse, but after hours of searching, I had no luck. I'm thinking it may have gotten washed away by the huge flood that swept through the valley a few years after my family moved away from the farm. So that's the story. Thank you for taking the time to read it, and I hope you all never stop doing the show. Like so many others, gets me through my workday. I'm thankful for the entertainment. Peace and God bless to you and your family.
You know, I honestly have to say the description sounds more like a shadow person.
Mm-hmm.
But not having seen it, you know, it may be a skinwalker.
The setting and some of the environment that's talked about kind of leads more that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the description of the actual entity itself, had that environment not been part of this story, I would be going more with a shadow person.
Yeah.
So, is it a case of just different people call different things?
It might be, except, and I will be honest, I haven't looked into skinwalker stuff that much, and you know, mm-hmm. that recently. So I may be wrong on this, but I had believed that there was a whole different type of description for a skinwalker.
I did too. I could be wrong because it has been a while since we've looked onto that topic.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see it also. I mean, and maybe it could also just be a case of the individual who's sharing the story. This is what they call that.
Right.
When it's not truly accurate to what the rest of the world calls a skinwalker or identifies as a skinwalker, you know?
Sure. Either way,
yeah,
she saw something.
Yeah, it's something that's not normally supposed to be there. Do you think it got the cat?
I don't know, maybe.
Or was the cat... I don't know. It's just, that's weird. It is always odd when you find an animal, if you're out, you know, it's like, that doesn't look like anything got it, but it's not. Animals do just die, too.
Yeah, they do.
You know, just, you know, if it, usually you can tell if it's old, though. Somewhat.
I don't know. How can you tell a cat's old?
Gray fur.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's the same way. I mean, you know how a lot of times you can tell if a dog's a bit older?
Sure, they get gray on their face.
Sure. And cats, I wouldn't say they get gray on their face, but some, and not all cats, but some cats, just kind of the more worn down face. I mean, I'm just judging, from looking at pictures of my first cat, Scruff, that my parents have from when she was a kitten 15 years ago to her today. And she's not dead, but... looks significant. Her face looks different.
Okay.
Looks a lot older. But it probably would be, it's probably easier to tell when they're alive, though, as well. Mm-hmm. You know, just their eyes, you know, but when they're dead, it's probably a little bit more difficult to tell on a cat, I would think. Unless you really know a lot about cats. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. If you're not an EPP yet, please consider signing up for that. Up at ghostpodcast.com, get access to all of those bonus episodes. And I even just created something new on there yesterday. And it was kind of out of necessity. And at the same point, it actually is going to be convenient because a lot of people have actually asked for something like this. The other day, I was messing around and not even on the EPP site. And then I get emails saying, hey, something's not working quite correctly. And it wasn't. The site was up, but for some reason, a lot of the posts weren't easily accessible. You had to like click around other ways of getting to them. And so I get on the phone with the tech support folks to try and figure out what on earth is going on. And it took them forever to figure it out, but they figured it out eventually, 5 hours later. And once it was figured out, the website, you know, it's back to normal. But in the meantime, I was trying to think, well, okay, I got to make it easy for everybody to get the EPP episodes without having to dig 1,000 places to access them. So I created a page that literally has links to every single EPP episode all on one page. So if you want to binge and not have to go from episode page to episode page, you can now do that.
That should be good.
It's just a page and one long line of links to download those EPP bonus episodes. So that's up there now. So even easier than ever to get those episodes once you sign up to be an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. Our next story says, hi, Tony and Jenny. Funeral home story. Well, right out of high school, I lived in my small hometown in the Midwest. This was about 13 years ago or so. Got an apartment in the older part of town, which was a big Victorian house in an old brick street. The place was absolutely beautiful. The only catch was the house was a running funeral home with an apartment upstairs. I was lucky enough to get it. My apartment did not have a door. There were just steps leading up to the apartment. So I get into the place. I used a back door of the funeral home and walked through the funeral parlor to get to my stairs. There was no door to my stairs, just carpet, and they went right up to my place. There was also no door at the top. So from down at the funeral parlor point of view, I really didn't look like an apartment. It just looked like part of the funeral home. Once I had a little old lady climb up my stairs and start yelling at me, wanting to know what I had done with her brother. The undertakers were away, and she had been searching for her brother's urn. Anyway, at the time I lived there, I worked nights at a local gas station, so when I got home, I had to walk through the dark to get to my stairs. Where I walked into the house was where they placed a lot of folded chairs after every funeral. A lot of the time, those chairs were in different spots due to how many funerals they had. There's usually at least one funeral a week. The chairs being moved around so much and stacked up in different places, I had a hard time navigating the little black push button for the light in the dark. So this led me to just braving it through the dark to get up to my apartment. I often had to walk by the caskets, which were always open. Now, that was unsettling at first, but I did get used to it. You'd never know where They would be because of the family, and the deceased would be pretty much decide how they wanted the flow of the funeral to go, so they would get to choose the layout. With me not having my own true entrance to my apartment and having to walk through the parlor, I did have to walk through a funeral at one time. I'd gotten something upstairs and had no other way to get through then but to walk through the funeral. I felt really terrible, and of course, that was a funeral that was a fun one. I had to walk through a bunch of bagpipers just going at it, playing away with their cute skirts on. I wasn't expecting that, that's for sure. Just saying I'd love that to happen at my funeral. The undertakers were very nice, and they were not mad about it. Actually, they had given me somewhat free range to the funeral parlor to a degree. If I ever needed cleaning supplies, I could go down to the casket showroom and grab whatever I needed. Okay, well, I guess now that I have given you the layout of the place, I can tell you my little story. So in my bedroom, I had a rather large walk-in closet. For some reason, I was always afraid of it. It's directly over the embalming room. Something about that was just off. I've always felt like a sensitive person, and by that I just meant having feelings of things. Nothing special, really. You know, the whole thing where you randomly think of a person you haven't seen in years, and you'll see him in the next day. I always have different little things like that happen, but when it does, it's about 3 or 4 times a week. I know 1 or 2 times is a coincidence, but more than that is just weird. Not sure if that makes me sensitive or just a weirdo. Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. Back to my story. So being a late teen, early 20-something, all-American small-town girl, I had a lot of friends, and of course, they all loved that I lived in a funeral home. One night, my friend and her brother and his girlfriend decided we were going to drive around and find a spot to do a Ouija board. Why we didn't do it in the funeral home, where a lot of death is beyond me. My friend and I were in a little green Ford Ranger, and her brother and girlfriend followed us in his car. We decided to park on an old dirt road with trees lining each side out of the country. We just hopped in the back of my truck and got out the board. It was most likely around midnight. It was late and dark. We were on the board, and we started to hear some odd howling or rustling. If I remember correctly, nothing spoke to us directly on the board. We were out in the country, and it could have very well been an animal or something, some drunk good old boys. But being kids, we of course are too scared to continue, so we packed up as fast as we could and tried to leave. For some reason, my truck was stuck. Couldn't get out of the road. The dirt road we were on was your ordinary dry dirt road, but it was as if we were slipping in mud. It was very odd, and I was panicking and scared. The friends that had followed us in their car behind us had ran their car and started it to have it die multiple times. They started it again, and it died. This happened 6 times before the car started, and they were able to leave. And at that time, my truck gained traction and could leave. The car never had problems before and had no problems down that road with my truck. It was almost as if something or someone didn't want us to leave or stop doing the board. When I got back home, I went to the bedroom, but was too scared that night to sleep with the lights off. I decided to sleep with the lights on, all the lights in my apartment. As I'm lying in my bed under the covers, my light in my room went out, but all the rest of the apartment lights stayed on. But 30 seconds to a minute later, my room light came back on. It was spooky. Anyway, that's my story. Sorry if it was long. Enjoy the show lots. Take care, Brewskies. Nikki.
It's probably a good idea that they didn't do the Ouija board there in the funeral home,
mm-hmm.
just because that could have opened up some things that you can't get rid of.
That and the fact that I think you're exactly right. I think a lot of times people think it's the people who are having their funerals at the funeral home that are the ones that are probably most active there. I think a lot of times it's just it's things drawn to it because of the energy mm-hmm. that's there from the sadness of the people. So yeah, that could have gone bad really fast. Wonder how that. I wonder what rent is at the funeral home, because that's quite an undertaking.
No pun intended. Nice choice of words.
It is to, I think, get someone to rent that.
Mm-hmm.
That I can imagine that would probably turn over pretty quick, or just be very difficult, just to get someone in there.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you list that one?
You make it real affordable.
Is that it?
Yeah.
It's just like super cheap. It's like, no. And then, by the way, once you get there to check it out, by the way, it's a funeral home. Does that even go in the ad, or is it just really cheap rent, nice amenities, and then you find out that little piece of the puzzle once you get there?
I don't know. I mean, once you pull up to the front door, you're going to know pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
You're either going to think it's a joke, or you're going to think you have to be pretty open-minded to even go in and take a look.
Sure. That is just, that would be so awkward.
It would just, your whole, everything would smell like a funeral home. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They have a distinct kind of fragrance.
You're right. A lot of them do.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just, is it the people coming and going? Is it the chemicals that are used in the embalming process and that stuff that's in those facilities? Is it a combination of everything that gives it that?
I don't know what it is, that or the same company that markets funeral home scent spray, you know, hits them all. I don't know.
It's like a specific like Glade plugin that they all have. And it's like it's funeral home and now available for the general public. You can get it for your house in case you want that.
Right. It's kind of like new car smell. You know what it is. You don't know why it's there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Next letter says, "G'day, guys. This is Professor Dan from Down Under. Normally, I would give my full name, but the universities I work for have a habit of getting hissy about the subject of the paranormal, so the alias. I cannot see why the paranormal is simply something beyond normal experience. It's not something to be feared, just something we cannot explain just yet, but I digress. Anyway, a little bit of family history, as well as my own. I'm a third-generation paranormal investigator, not a ghost hunter, spook chaser, or whatnot, with files and investigations dating back to the 1860s that were conducted by my family. These files deal with a lot of subjects, from ghosts to disappearances to cryptids and UFOs, even just down to the, okay, that was weird, and from time to time, I'll write some of those in. Normally, I'd call them in, but as some of my friends have said over the phone, I have a voice suitable for silent movies. So this is the first email I'll include, a personal experience, as well as a couple from the family files. My personal experience dates back over 25 years to when I just left the Army. Now, like most military people and emergency responders will tell you, death is a part of the job. You live constantly with the idea that today could be the day I'm in a body bag, and not to sound melodramatic, but you don't feel comfortable with it, but eventually it becomes simply a fact of life. People die on duty. Well, I had just left the service literally days before, and I was shifting from my old base back to my family home. Well, I got used to being a civilian again. I was 6 hours into a 12-hour drive. That's 12 hours of actual driving, not including breaks, when I started to drift off behind the wheel. Next thing I hear was the voice of my old platoon sergeant yelling in my ear, "Wake up, soldier, I'll slap you on a charge." And I snapped awake, only to see myself not 10 feet behind an 18-wheeler about to hit it around 50 miles an hour. I slammed on the brakes, twisted the wheel, and narrowly missed it. I came to a rest on the hard shoulder and stopped. Then felt a hand squeeze my shoulder and a soft voice saying, "It's okay, son. Not time for you to come home yet." I looked over and saw a shadowy figure whose profile I only knew too well. It was my old platoon sergeant. He disappeared, and I sat there, calming down. I pulled into the nearest roadhouse and slept for a good couple hours before I drove on. Now, I should explain, the man in question had been dead for 3 years, and it was because I was at his bedside when he died. He was a typical sergeant. He could swear so bad it made a Marine gunny sound like a Southern lady's sewing circle, but loved his men like they were his children. So I think he came back one last time to save one of his boys when he needed to. Now onto the family files, a ghost nurse. The file dates in the 1960s, but I was able to confirm that she still appears to this day. I won't mention the hospital name out of respect, but the nurse is well known by all the nursing staff. She has since been seen many times, usually once or twice a week, in the cancer wards. It always follows the same procedure, 3 a.m., just when things are dead quiet, a figure of a nurse can be seen drifting silently through the ward. She's described as 5'3" to 6" tall and dressed in early 1900s clothes. She moves through the ward and seems to be carrying a candle. She'll be seen hovering over patients as though checking on them and then moves off. She doesn't always follow the same routine, nor does she check the same beds. Something strange, though. All the patients she checks on seem to make very quick recoveries. Faster than even the doctors can explain. She's been dubbed the Angel Nurse by the nursing staff. According to my father, who investigated this, he labeled her as an intelligent haunting rather than a residual because she seems to have purpose rather than being just a recording of past events. Finally, the Min Min lights. Min Min is an unusual light phenomena that has often been reported in the outback in Australia. The name Min Min derives from a small settlement of Min Min located between the outback towns of Balia and Winton, where the light was observed by a stockman in 1918. But the story goes back a lot longer than that. Stories about the lights can be found in Aboriginal myths predating European settlement and have since become part of a wider Australian folklore. Indigenous Australians hold that the number of sightings has increased alongside an increasing ingression of Europeans into the outback. According to folklore, the light sometimes follows or approaches people and then disappears, sometimes very rapidly, when fired upon, only to reappear later. Those lights have been seen following cars at high speed or flying in low over camps to even just hovering over the top of someone standing there. They've been labeled as everything from hallucinations to swamp gas and UFOs, but swamp gas is a bit hard to find in outback Australia. I mean, hallucinations are strange when considering there have been sightings by entire tour bus loads of these lights at one time. One explanation is that the Min Min are land spirits watching over the land to stop people from ravaging it. They've also been known to follow cars for hundreds of kilometers, only to disappear as they near the town or roadhouse. They have also been known to lead lost travelers to safety or to lead them away, never to be heard from again. When the light gets cold and dark, and the nearest person could be hundreds of miles away, and the sky is like billions of diamonds stretched across the sky, always be respectful of the land and its ways, for the Min Min may be watching you.
Okay, with the increase of European settlers, the increase in the Min Min lights, is it that, or is it now that there's a better record of these occurrences?
I think that could be it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that could be it for a lot of things we talk about on this show, as far as anything paranormal goes, where people talk about now, you know, it seems like there's more hauntings now than ever before. Or is it just that it's more acceptable to be sharing these things? And it is recorded more.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, someone's story that gets passed down from generation to generation. It's documented. You have all these groups now that, you know, every town has at least one paranormal group, it seems. And it's all being written down and very well documented. And is that why it appears to be more?
Yeah, because, I mean, if it happened before they got there,
mm-hmm,
and the indigenous people had their own record of it,
mm-hmm,
you know, it might have been a, okay, we know about this and we're going to pass this down through our, you know, generations.
Mm-hmm.
But as more people come, more people experience it, more people make it known.
Yeah.
That might be it. And he's right, you know. Why would it be swamp gas in the middle of the outback?
Exactly.
There's no climate in the outback that's just, you know, that's conducive to that. So, that I'm aware of.
The lights are always an interesting thing, whether it be the Min Min phenomena here or all over the world. There's these, you know, weird light phenomena, mm-hmm, out in rural areas, essentially, where there really otherwise wouldn't be lights. And that's always fascinated me as to, like, what is this? Is it a ghost train, you know, sometimes off in the distance? Or, you know, sometimes I think it'll immediately go to people assuming UFOs. But I think more times than not, there's something paranormal going on with it.
Yeah.
And it just becomes that much more, you become that much more aware of it because of the setting, because of how dark it is, because of how desolate it is. It's not necessarily just kind of blending in with all the other lights of a city or something.
Yeah.
So, good story. Thank you for sharing all those experiences with us. So we greatly, greatly do appreciate that. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Get all those bonus episodes of the show. They're up at our website, ghostpodcast.com. Exclusive video content up there as well. Seeing ghost episodes. We take a look at ghost pictures and talk about them. All sorts of fun stuff up there for you. Hundreds of episodes to just binge away in with our best ghost stories ever. And that's what keeps us on the air. $5 a month is all we ask to become an EPP Extra Podcast person, or sign up for a full year, get 1 month free, and a bunk bed bell for that gesture of signing up and subscribing to our program. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.